Terrain connectivity and exposure. Different views. When we're traveling in the backcountry, we want to pair our pre-trip planning with our field observations. It's really important to take photos during their approach so we can have something to refer back to as we get closer. The picture below is of the same slope. One is taken from the approach and the other from the top. What aspects of Cherry Bowl would be hard to navigate if you didn't have the first perspective? Maybe the giant band of cliffs at the bottom? There's no way you'd be able to see that from the top. Slope size and exposure from above. We're always looking up and thinking of our overhead hazard. We may feel we're in a safe spot, but we need to take a good look around and make sure we've identified all of the hazards. What's above us? What's across from us? Sometimes avalanche paths can come down from across the valley and up the other side, so we always want to be aware of what's going on over there. How large is the slope? How big of an avalanche can this produce? In the photo above, we can see the snowmobiler had large overhead hazard and the runout zone is into a terrain trap, the gully. The slope is very connected with few terrain features breaking up the slope. This person is extremely lucky that the avalanche they triggered was not larger and did not propagate across the entire slope. Slope connectivity. So how connected is the terrain that we're on? What would happen if we remote triggered something? Would the avalanche travel very far, or is it a small slope where it'd stay pretty contained? Would the avalanche propagate all the way across the entire slope? Is there any terrain features to break up the propagation of the avalanche? These are all questions we want to ask ourselves whenever we're assessing a slope. In the photo above, we'd want to be sure that we did not have a persistent weak layer with propagating characteristics if we were riding there. If we had a weak layer, such as surface hoar, which we deal with a lot throughout the winter, in this terrain, we can imagine this entire bowl could avalanche if we triggered something, since it is quite connected. Even if we were in the gentler terrain, we would still have the potential to trigger this entire bowl. The picture above is a great example of terrain connectivity and how far an avalanche can propagate with no significant terrain features to break it up. The culprit for this impressive avalanche is a widespread persistent weak layer. Uniform slope. Lookers left on this photo shows us some terrain options where the slope is broken up by benches and trees, and lookers right is a great example of a uniform slope. What would the consequence be if we triggered something on here? While uniform slopes can increase the consequence of a large propagating avalanche when the right conditions are present, the less convoluted a slope is, the more evenly distributed the snow will be, resulting in fewer common trigger points, such as convexities and thin spots. So, depending on the conditions, it might be safer to be on the uniform slope. But if we had a persistent weak layer, let's say, we wouldn't want to expose ourselves to anything that vague.